things to do in Kabul. Kabul was very devastated when the Taliban forces left it after their 9/11 campaign. A large portion of the city was attacked by outside forces and almost everything was reduced to rubble. It was a city of chaos and people with broken hopes and dreams. Today, Kabul is slowly moving towards its goal of fully recovering from the horrors of war and improving its affected economy and tourism. Most of the rubble has been cleared and new restaurants and shopping malls stand alongside renovated old bazaars and buildings. Modern technology has also made its way to the city of Kabul. Shopping malls are now made bomb-proof and the city center is on its way to becoming a safe cosmopolitan city that every tourist can explore. However, much of the problem now is assuring the continuous delivery of the basic supplies of power, water, internet, and livelihood. At the moment, the city presents an interesting preview of what the future holds. It is a city that has its eyes set on making progress and helping its people rise again from the ashes. Note, this travel guide is aimed for travelers who are adventurous and brave enough to ignore the travel advisories for Afghanistan and its capital city, Kabul. We do not intend to encourage everyone to risk their lives by going to a very uncertain place, but rather to provide tourism information and material for the purpose of research about the beauty of a war-torn country. In case you have future plans to visit Kabul, please monitor the latest travel warning advisory issued by your country for your own safety and protection. When to go? If the political atmosphere permits you to enjoy a tour or holiday in this city, the ideal time to explore Afghanistan is spring or fall, specifically around the months of April to June and September through October. In spring, the northern part of the city turns from a humid and arid place to brilliant green, as the deserts and slopes spring into life and are covered in lush vegetation and colorful flowers. Harvest time is also one of the joys of the late summer season, with abundant harvests of melons, pomegranates, and grapes from the Somali plains in Kandahar getting delivered to the city market of Kabul. Winter is much less tolerable, with temperatures ranging below zero, and it produces an overwhelming snow in the city and all over Afghanistan. The spring milk can bring inconvenience of its own, with regular floods washing out poorly kept roads. Summers could be blisteringly hot at lower heights, with urban areas like Herat, Mazar-e-Sharif, Jalalabad and Kandahar sweltering in hot temperatures that reach up to 104. The mountains alleviate this heatwave, and Kabul, Bamiyan and Faizabad are all more reasonable. Their elevation also favors them with delightfully cooler evenings. The months of June to September are the best time to head to the higher mountains. Much of Badakhshan, counting the Wakhan corridor, is difficult for whatever remains of the Europe because of snow. At the end of the winter season, everybody anticipates the celebration of the Nowruz feast, March. This could be a perfect time to visit the city. It is also in these months when the youth spend more time playing the national game called the Buzkashi. Then again, the month-long celebration of Ramadan could be a challenging time to risk making a tour of the city because most of the business establishments, attractions, the museums are closed during the day and some places even choose to close shop for the whole month. These are the top things to do and places to see when in the city of Kabul, Afghanistan. Kabul Museum. The Kabul Museum was at one time one of the best historical centers of the world. One of its interesting exhibits shows Hellenistic gold coins, old Buddhist statues and antique bronzes, demonstrating the city's important role in Islamic history and also in Asia. After years of neglect amid the common war, assistance from global groups and the unmatched commitment of its staff is enabling the historical center to recover slowly from the effects of civil war. This gallery opened in 1919, and is just about completely loaded with things unearthed in Kabul and other cities in Afghanistan. As the fall of socialist Kabul became evident with the Soviet withdrawal, a considerable lot of the most significant pieces were moved into a secured storage room. Still today, the larger part of the exhibit consists mostly of photographs of the actual artifact. The staff is doing it this way to protect the treasures kept in their guarded vault in case of any political uprising or any threats of terrorist or military attacks. Shockingly, the exhibition hall rapidly ended up on the bleeding edge of Mujahideen's frightful battle for Kabul. Somewhere around 1992 and 1994 The historical center was utilized as a Mujahideen base. During this period, the historical center was hugely plundered, robbed, and stripped, and subjected to violence as the rebels took the most valuable pieces for resale on the illegal antique black market. The gallery's library and stock likewise disappeared at this point, to hamper efforts to follow the provenance of stolen products. Among the inestimable fortunes lost were a significant number of precious ivories, the collection of old coins and notes, and the extraordinary Gandharan statues of Buddha. During this war, the gallery was further harmed by a rocket assault that devastated its upper floor, Balochistan city walls. The former threshold of royal power is a fortification that has remained on the site of the Balochistan city walls since the 5th century AD or even way ahead of this time. It is located at the bottom part of the Qaisar Darwaza Mountains that are now guarding the southwestern access roads to the city of Kabul. The fortress, or the castle as it appears today, was designed and constructed this way towards the end of the 19th century. The British armed forces at the end of the Second English-Afghan War devastated the former stronghold. Presently, it is utilized by the armed forces and closed to the public's view. On the other hand, the old city walls can be seen from the Bilal-Hisar towers, and you can take long walks to have some stunning perspectives of the capital. The beginning stage of this site can be found at the entrance of the colossal cemetery of Shohadi Salihin. Most of the access points will take you past Jade Meywand and the demolished Cheer Bazaar, a conventional place for Kabul's musical performers, and the spot where Bukhara Burns was murdered by the crowd in 1841. The street brings you along the southern foot of Balochistan, with great perspectives up to its bulwarks. To have a better appreciation of the place, begin the stroll just over half a mile after the fortification. The walking trail ought to take 3 or 4 hours altogether. Wear a wide-brimmed hat and carry a lot of drinking water if you plan to visit during the summer season. Babur's Gardens. Babur's Gardens is where the late Mughal ruler Babur was finally laid rest in the late 16th century. Aside from being the official site of his tomb, the landscape of its lovely garden is one of the reasons why visitors frequent this historic site. Measuring at a fair size of 27 acres, this is likewise the biggest open green park of the city. Although it suffered so much during the last war, the area has been fantastically restored by the Aga Khan's Trust for Culture Foundation, AKTC. Initially, the garden was designed or patterned after the Sharbagh style, 4 gardens, with an arrangement of quartered climbing patios and the main water course. The wonderful garden first served its purpose as a relaxation area for the past Mughal rulers, but was left unmaintained after the fall of the city. The late Abdurrahman Khan restored a significant part of the grounds at the start of the 20th century. After the full restoration work, it was opened to the public in the 1930s. However, the gardens were destroyed and numerous trees were cut for firewood by the community, in order for families to survive during the course of the last civil war. The garden is now surrounded by a tall concrete wall that was successfully installed and rehabilitated by the foundation. It has been constantly renovated and upgraded since. Sultani Museum. This gallery was established in 2004 by Ahmad Shah Sultani, a well-known gold and antique merchant who spent a significant amount of time in London while the nation suffered an ugly war. Here at the Sultani Museum, he gathered an expansive accumulation of Afghan ancient pieces, expecting to protect them for the sake of the nation. Many of his collections are of plundered or smuggled things, yet those unmistakably from the Kabul Museum were immediately returned. His accumulation has yet to be appropriately indexed, however it is thought to contain in excess of 3,000 pieces. Sultan's main intention was to give all of his accumulation to the state. The exhibition hall is intensely secured, and upon issuing your ticket the caretaker undertakes the meticulous process of disabling all of the installed security systems to permit seeing all of the collections. The main room is brimming with Islamic time original copies and some excellent Qurans that were pretty much presented in every possible calligraphic script. The accompanying rooms highlight a great portion of Afghan history, with relics from all periods competing for space on the exhibition walls. The wooden